Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Tell the person beside you, we focus on Jesus. Find the other neighbor that was your second option, the JV option, and tell them we focus on Jesus. And this is the most important value of our church, and this is to be the most important value of our lives, that this is the bedrock value in our lives, that it's upon this in which everything else rests on. It's upon this where everything else finds its validity. We focus on Jesus. This is us. This is who we are. We focus on Jesus. And the question I want to ask us today as we think about this title is, what is your life focused on right now? Is your life focused more on your career? Is it focused more on your relationships? Is it focused more on your health? Is it focused more on your finances? Is it focused more on your appearances? And there's nothing wrong with paying attention to those things, but is the circumference of my life and is the centrality of my life, is the focal point of my life those things, or is it on Jesus? Because if the focal point is on those things, I will constantly be left frustrated. Because the reality is those things are temporary. If my identity and who I am is shaped based upon how I look, as the years progress, my self-esteem is going to go down. Like, you look good in that year. But gravity has a strange way of pulling things and down, changing how you look, right? If my identity is shaped around how much money is in the bank account, if that's my focus, then there's going to come a day, if it has not already happened, where I'm going to experience a letdown. If my focal point and the centrality of my life has everything to do with how well I'm doing career-wise, then I'm headed for a disaster, because any given moment I could easily lose the job that I coveted so much time for. What is my focus? What am I focused on? And here in verse 2, the writer of Hebrews tells us who our focus and where our focus should be. He says, I want you to focus on Jesus. Now, what's powerful about what he says here in verse 2 is you have to understand the context of everything that he said prior to this, especially chapter 11. Because in chapter 11, you have what we typically would call in the church the Hall of Faith. You know how you got the Hall of Fame, all the greats in a particular sport or arena or whatever the case may be. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, you have this Hall of Faith. And this Hall of Faith is filled with all these great biblical characters who exhibited incredible faith, not to say that they were perfect, because they sure enough weren't, but overall, their lives were focused on God and the promise that he had made to bring Jesus at some point in time. And so what happens is, the writer of Hebrews kind of goes through just a quick snapshot and synopsis of all these great gospel giants, people who placed their faith in God, people who trusted God in all types of situations, people who trusted God when things were good, people who trusted God when things were bad, people who came back to God after they ran from God, people who continue just to seek after God. I don't know about y'all, but when my life is said and done, I want people to say he was not perfect, but he was focused on Jesus. Because that's all that matters. I want my tombstone to say, here lies Edwin Jones. Man, that dude loved Jesus. Yeah, he left Ariel and the kids, you know, all that good stuff. You know, he left them, and not like I left them, but God, get your minds right. It's like, oh my God, she's leaving. No, I'm not. That's not what I meant. I meant I'm going to be with Jesus. I want people to say when I go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ that, man, I want my faith in Jesus to look like his. Paul says it like this: imitate me as I imitate Christ. Yeah, I want to leave a legacy for my family. I don't want to just leave a monetary legacy, because they can blow that any moment. But I want to leave something that will outlast even them. Something that can pass down from generation to generation. So the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off the sin that so easily ensnares us. And verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, or the source and the perfecter of our salvation. He tells us what your life is to be focused on. Your life is to be focused on Jesus. Nothing else. Not your wife, not your husband, not your kids, not your career, not your money, not this, not that. All those things are great, and God has blessed you with those things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he says, the only thing that I want you to place as chief in your life is me. That's it. Because when you begin to put God-like expectations on all those other things in your life that are not Jesus, they will always fall under the pressure. And for some of us, that's the reason why things are falling apart in our life, is because you're looking to your spouse to be Jesus. They cannot be Jesus. You're looking to your job to be Jehovah Jireh. It is not. What are you going to do when that dries up? He says, no. I don't want you to focus on all these other things. I don't want you to get entangled by all these other distractions. No. Throw off those things. Focus on Jesus. That is the vision of our church. It's to point people to Jesus. I told people when we started this church 4 years ago, we ain't started this church for church people. We started this church for people to come to know Jesus. That's why. Like, Jesus has called us to go make disciples, to point people to him. That's it. That's the whole point. It's to lead people into a relationship with him. That's the goal. That's why Jesus came. He says in Luke 19, it's an I came to seek and to save the lost. That was all of us. That's why our church exists. It's to point people to Jesus. We will be a people who focuses on Jesus. But I love what the writer gives us here, because he doesn't just tell us that we should focus on Jesus. But here, tucked away, like in a few words in verse 2, he gives us the reason why we should focus on Jesus. Notice what he says. He says, I want you to focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the source. Somebody say the source. Now, not the magazine for hip-hop heads. Some of y'all who are really, really young, and I sound crazy saying that, who are really young, don't know nothing about the source. I have arrived to that point in my life where, Jesus, oh gosh. Just had an out-of-body moment, man. I feel old now. Older. He says, I want you to focus on Jesus, the source, and perfecter of our faith. I want to focus on that first word he says, the source. Because when he mentions the source here, it means the originator. He means the founder. He means the initiator of our faith. Why do we focus on Jesus? We focus on Jesus because he is our foundation. That's point number one if you're taking notes. He's our foundation. And he is not just our foundation. He is our sure foundation. In other words, our life is to be founded on Jesus. Our life is to be built on Jesus. And I love what Jesus says in Matthew 7. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it didn't collapse because, watch what it says, its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house, watch what it says, on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed with a great crash. What are you building your life on right now? Because if you ain't building it on Jesus, I hate to tell you this, it's not going to hold up well. Jesus is the rock. Well before Dwayne Johnson, People's Eyebrow, Fast and Furious, all that good stuff, Jesus is the original rock. He is for the people. He's the one who changes lives. And he is the one that we are to build our lives upon. Jesus says here in Matthew 7, any person who builds their life on what I've said, ultimately building their life on me, that's a smart builder. That's like them building it on a hard, strong, sturdy foundation. But when you decide you want to do your own thing, I'm going to just do me. You know how we get, I'm going to just do me. Somebody try to give you advice. I hear you. I'm going to just do me though. They start rolling in that. I'm going to just do me. Mm-hmm. You build your life on anything else but godly wisdom, godly advice, biblical principle. Build it on anything else but Jesus. It is like building your house on the sand. And who does that? Now, many of us, when we hear this scripture, you'll be like, man, that's one of the most foolish things that we can do. We build it on sand. Who's going to build it on sand? But be careful, because when you look at your life and examine your life, what have you built your life on that is not strong and sturdy? What is it? You build it on sand, it's going to get washed away. You build it on Jesus. I love what the text says, because the storm came to both houses. Many times it's easy to think, if I build my house on Jesus, my life on Jesus, I'm never going to run into issues. No. He never said that. He says, you build your life on me, even when the storms come, you will still stay steadfast. You will still stay grounded. You will still have a sure foundation. You may sway a little bit, but you ain't going nowhere. And I don't know about y'all, that's good news to know that I could build my life on a sure foundation, that I have somebody that I can depend on, that I can trust. No matter what it is that may come to my life, I can still trust Jesus to be my sure and solid foundation. There was a song back in the day that would say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You build your life on anything else but Jesus, it is shifty, it is not stable, it is not solid. But if you build your life on Jesus, you have a solid foundation. Let me say it like this, that our life will only be as good as the foundation we build it on. Build it on Jesus. Why? Because a shallow foundation leads to shallow and surface results. Build it on Jesus. As a matter of fact, the whole Bible, I don't know if you knew this or not, from Genesis to Revelation, is actually about Jesus. Let me give you a quick little theological lesson. It's not about dinosaurs. It's not about, you know, how the earth was created. It's not about whether you can eat this or eat that. No. You're missing the point. The whole entire breadth of scripture from Genesis to Revelation is all pointing to Jesus. It is all about the redemptive work of Jesus. I can prove it to you if I had the time, but I don't have enough of it. But I'll tell you exactly what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. He's having this conversation with some really deep people, some of the Pharisees of their day who claim to know all there was about scripture. Notice what he says. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face. And you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. Watch what he says here. Don't miss this. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. The scriptures point to me. Do you know what the scriptures are all about? It's about Jesus. They all point to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Everything in the scripture is about Jesus. There is this overarching theme. There is this scarlet thread, as theologians will say, that's pointing to Jesus. In other words, when I look at the Old Testament, I look at it through the lens of the redemptive work of Christ on the cross and through his resurrection. When I look at all the things that will come in Revelation, I look at it now through the lens of Jesus inaugurating and establishing and bringing his kingdom to pass on heaven as it is in earth. It is all about Jesus. And if all of scripture points to Jesus, shouldn't all your life point to Jesus? Our lives are supposed to point to Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we don't have the scripture up here, but it talks about how all things in heaven and in earth hold together through Christ. In heaven and on earth, they find their orbit around Jesus. What are you orbiting? What is your life orbiting right now? Your job? Let me check. Let me find another job. Let me get another job. Let me find another boo. Let me find some more hair. Let me get a new car. Let me get some more money. let me just keep doing this and it's not satisfying you. It's not doing anything for you. Because it was never meant to take the place of Jesus. Only Jesus can bring what you desire. Only Jesus is a sure foundation. Everything in my life is to be built on Jesus and on the foundation of who he is and what he's accomplished, which means your ethics should come back to Jesus, which means now your career choices should be shaped around Jesus. Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life? What career path do you want me to go down? How often do we pray about the job that we want to take? Right? Jesus, do you want me to have your job? Do we pray prayers like this? Jesus, if you want me to have it, make it happen. If you don't, shut it down. We don't pray that second part of the prayer. Jesus, if you want me to be in a relationship with this person, bring it to pass. Let there be fruit. Let there be some good just direction. But if you don't want me to be with this person, shut it all down. We don't pray that side of the prayer. Mm-mm. We don't do that. I'm going to tell you something that blew my mind that Ariel told me like right after we got married. She said, I prayed that if the Lord did not want us to get married, that he would just, like, destroy it. I said, well, dog, was I living in sin? But all jokes aside, it was one of the most powerful things that blessed my soul, because what it shows is I don't want to be anywhere where you are not Jesus. I'd rather have $10 to my name and have Jesus than $1 million and not have him at all. Because on Jesus, I have a sure foundation. Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus is our stable source in a shaky society. We build our lives on Jesus. Jesus is the center of our lives. He's to be the center of your marriage. He's to be the center of your relationships. He should be the center of your finances, how you parent, how you talk to people, how you treat people. I honestly believe if we would get a little bit more Jesus in politics, then maybe things might change. If we would get a little bit more Jesus in our marriages, in our relationships, and in our homes, man, things may begin to look a little bit different. But maybe some of the reason why there's so much dysfunction is because we have disqualified Jesus from those things. And some of us have been praying, man, I don't know what's going on with my marriage, and I need, like, where do I turn, and what do I do about this? Let me ask you this. Is it focused on Jesus, your sure foundation, the one who will never change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There's things in your life that's changing all the time, but the one who will not change is Jesus. What, doesn't it make sense to build my life around the one who is always consistent, always consistent, always faithful, always good, always forgiving, always gracious, always merciful, always loving, always caring, always compassionate, always, always, always. Doesn't it make sense to build my life around the one who is always the same? Build your life on Jesus. We focus on Jesus. I remember freshman year at ODU, it was like the worst year academically I ever had. I was literally on academic probation. And do you know what the common denominator was that year? I was not focused on Jesus. Now, y'all, I had to bust my butt just to get like a C average in engineering. I hated people who didn't have to study and they get A pluses. I'm like, man, look, man. You don't know nothing about struggle. I had to struggle for that C. It paid off on graduation day, but I had to struggle for that thing. But when I look back on my history, the times where my life has gone down the worst path has been the times where I was not focused on Jesus. And I believe that if you're in a rough patch in your life, sometimes things just happen in life, not because you're rebelling from God or rebelling against God, but simply sometimes because you're in the will of God. Storms do come. We already heard about that. But there are instances in your life where your life will fall apart because you're not focused on Jesus. And if that is you right now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to get focused on Jesus. I'm here today to help you get your focus right. You came to the spiritual optometrist here today to help you realign and get your vision right, to get you to focus back on Jesus. Some of us have lost focus. Some of us have lost this passion. Some of us have lost the zeal. We got caught up with all these other things, and we lost sight of the one that we're supposed to be focused on the most, which is Jesus. And let me give you some good news. When you focus on Jesus, you don't just have a foundation, but you experience the second thing of what this writer says here in Hebrews chapter 12. He says he's not just the source, he's not just the foundation, but he's also the perfecter of our faith, which means he's the fulfillment of our faith. He completes it. He brings it to pass. He sustains it. He fulfills it. Jesus is not just our foundation. He is also our fulfillment. In other words, let me say it like this. He is the one who fills our souls. He is the one who fills our lives. He is the one who fills our passions. He is the one who fills and smooths over those insecure areas in our life. He is the one who satisfies the longings in my soul that I have. He is the one who brings completion to my life. You are not complete when you get in a relationship with somebody. You are complete when you get in a relationship with Jesus. He is the one who fulfills. He is the one who satisfies. Why is this so important, what the writer of Hebrews is saying here in Hebrews chapter 12? Because you got to understand the context once again. Jesus is the one who perfectly fulfilled the law of God. In other words, he lived a sinless life, which is what enabled him and qualified him to be our Savior. Because everyone prior to Moses, Abraham, David, Noah, all the people that we like to talk about in Sunday school, or not, we don't have Sunday school, but in B-Kids and in small groups and that you see in kids' Bibles, oh, be more like Noah. Really, a drunk? Be more like Abraham. Really, the dude who lied about his wife and said she was actually his sister? Let's be more like David and throw down some giants like Goliath. Really, the same guy that had a dude kill so he could be with his wife? Scandal? Are these our guys? Really?
Because when I look at them, I see somebody just like me. That's the point. So that way, when you see Jesus, you see he's not just like you. You see somebody who's gone through the situations that you've gone through, but he's overcome them all, which is why now the Bible says it is now through Christ that I can do all things. Why? Because he overcame all things. He fulfilled all things. He satisfied all things. He is perfect. There is no imperfection in Jesus at all, which is why when I put my faith and trust and hope in Jesus, he satisfies my soul. He is the one who took upon himself my sins so that way I could take upon myself his life. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says. He made the one, talking about God the Father, he made the one, talking about Jesus, who did not know sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What does this mean in plain language? It means that the way to get into a relationship with God the Father is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That Jesus took upon himself your sins so you could be made new. This is why the Bible says earlier before that any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. Which means this, if you are in Christ and if you have come to Jesus and maybe today you're not a Christ follower, let me encourage you, when you come to Jesus, you are no longer who you used to be. You are a new creature. You started off as a caterpillar. You went through that transformation stage. Now you are a butterfly. That's who you are in Christ. That's what he does. He literally transforms you. He does not create a better version of you. He creates an entire new version of you. This is why in the Bible you would have names like Abram and go to Abraham. This is why you would have people like Jacob and get a new name, Israel. This is why now in Christ you are no longer who you used to be. You are now new. But Pastor, I still do some of the crazy things that I used to do. It's called a process of sanctification. It's called a process of growth. But as you continue to walk with Jesus, you will notice that chains will begin to fall, that breakthroughs will begin to take place, that curses will begin to fall, that the more you're focused on Jesus and the more you're walking with Jesus, you'll look back 5 years from now and say, man, I used to look like that. I used to talk like that. I'm a whole new creature now. Y'all know what I'm talking about, because when you go back and look at some of the pictures from a few years ago, for better or for worse, you're not the same person. I was looking at some pictures from like 4 years ago when we launched the church. I was like, oh my gosh. Jesus. What was he thinking? You wore that, bro, to preach in, really? You couldn't dress at all. Now you got some bronze. You feeling good, huh? No, I'm just okay. I always have these conversations with myself. No. It displays this transformation process that he takes us through. When you're in Jesus, he fulfills you. Do you know what the key to a fulfilling and satisfying relationship in marriage is? Jesus. Do you want to know how you and your children can get along more in the house? Jesus. Do you want to know how you can experience breakthrough in every area of your life? Jesus. Do you want to know how you can experience wholeness and freedom? Jesus. We focus on Jesus. That's who we focus on. He is the key in our life. Here's what he says in Matthew 7, verse 13. I got a few minutes. He says this: you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. That's what the Bible says. Highway to hell. Whoever made up that song, they got that from the scriptures. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever found it. And if you're reading that, you're like, okay, man, I want the gate that's narrow that leads to life. I'm trying to go to hell. What is this gate? Glad you asked. Jesus says this in John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the gate. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Why is this so important? Because culture teaches you that there's many ways to heaven. Buddha, Allah, somebody you just made up yesterday. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. He says it like this in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I'm the gate. I'm the way. I'm the key. Culture teaches that there are many ways to experience joy, but there's only one, Jesus. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Yeah. Culture teaches that there are many ways to find purpose, but there is only one, Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives you purpose. Let me say it like this, that a life founded on Jesus leads to a life fulfilled by Jesus. If you build your life on Jesus, your life will be fulfilled by Jesus. And I want to close with this story. I was talking to somebody on our team this past week, and we were preparing for Sunday. We were here Wednesday night, and I was talking to him, and we were just talking about some of the new things that we kind of wanted to do with recording and stuff like that. And midstream conversation, he literally said these words. He said, "Pastor, I just love doing this, man. I love serving. I just love this. I love it." And I was literally sitting there on the brink of tears, because here I see somebody who has tapped into this amazing relationship with Jesus, and they've found their purpose, and they're using their gifts to advance the kingdom, and it's not about pay, it's not about how much money I can get, it's not about what kind of glory I can get out of this, it is simply because I've been fulfilled and satisfied by Jesus. And I want you to know today that when you tap into Jesus and when you are focused on Jesus, when this is your main core value of your life and of our church, there is a fulfillment that comes that this world cannot give you. There is joy unspeakable. There is satisfaction that you cannot buy and find in a relationship, that you can't find at Walmart, that you can't find in a new career path, that you only find in Jesus. He satisfies my soul. He fulfills my longing. He meets my needs. He's the one that satisfies all of my heart cries. He is the one who answers all of my prayers. And my desire for all of us today is we would be a people who say, this is us. We focus on Jesus. My desire for you and your family is that you would say what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is who we are. We may not be millionaires. We may not have the biggest house on the block. We may not have the nicest cars. We may not have all the degrees. And even if we do, that's not who we are. We are people who are focused on Jesus, because it is Jesus and only Jesus that can change lives. It is Jesus and only Jesus that can set us free. It is Jesus and only Jesus that can bring forth breakthrough, that can answer our prayers, who can answer our longings. Is there anybody who is grateful for the name of Jesus, the only name in which we can be saved, the only name in which breakthrough and life come? That is who we are. That is who we are. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I've lost sight of Jesus, man, and I've drifted so much. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, my life has never been focused on Jesus. It's always been focused on me. I want to give you good news, and I want you to know this today. Jesus came to give you something. He came to give you life. He came to give you fulfillment. And he wants to be the foundation of your life. And it doesn't matter what your age is. I got saved when I was 7 years old. I recommitted my life when I was about 15. And from that point on, my life was forever changed. It doesn't mean that I was perfect. You heard me talk about how freshman year, which was a few years after being 15, I kind of drifted a little bit. I lost sight of Jesus for a few semesters, two crucial semesters that almost got me kicked out of school. But I bless God for a church, and I bless God for spiritual people and Jesus-loving people who are around me to give me some words of rebuke and encouragement. Hey, bro, you need to focus on Jesus. And it's because of that that changed my life for the better. It didn't mean that things were perfect. It didn't mean that storms didn't come, but it meant that my focus was secure and it was fixated on the one who was always focused on me, Jesus. And I want you to know, no matter who you are, no matter your age, no matter your background, no matter what your past looks like, that in Christ Jesus, you can be a new creature, that in Christ Jesus, you can be fulfilled, that in Christ Jesus, those things that you've been dealing with and struggling with, you can find freedom from. I want you to know that today. We focus on Jesus. That's it. This message today was like the guts of the gospel. That's what it's all about. It's focused on Jesus, the one where our focus should be. And here at our church, you will always hear us talk about Jesus, preach about Jesus, sing about Jesus. Why? Because he is the one who is worthy of our praise. What God the Father has done for us through Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit is worthy of all of our praise. When you think about who you used to be and who you are now, it is because of Jesus. And today, if you've lost sight of him, or today you've never been focused on him, today that can all change. You can get your focus right. And Jesus says, I'm here. I'm here. I know you messed up. I know you did this. I know you did that. But I'm here. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's the question I'm going to ask you. Where's your focus this morning? Have you drifted? Have you wandered a little bit? Because if you have, the good news is this, that you can get in a right relationship with God by focusing on Jesus, by putting your faith and trust in him. That this morning your life can be forever changed. Here at 10:30 Sunday, September 30th, your life can be forever changed. Jesus loves you more than you could ever imagine. He is not holding your sins against you. Why? Because your sins were counted against him, and he did not do a thing except love you. He took it upon himself because he wanted to give you something better. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, this is me. I need to give my life to Christ. I've been wandering away. I've been drifting. Here's what I want you to do. While nobody's looking, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. On the count of three, I just want you to shoot up your hand just so I can see you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want you to shoot up your hand so I can just see and lead us in a moment of prayer. But if that's you, on the count of three, I want to give my life to Christ. I'm going to say yes to Jesus this morning. Would you raise your hand? One, two, three. If that's you, awesome. Amen. Father, for every single hand that's lifted, I pray that they would focus on you. Not on the things of this world, but focus on you. That it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about who you are. It's all about what you've done. And I pray that you would renew them, make them into a new creature. In Jesus' name. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you raise your hand, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but that's your heart cry. I want to say yes to Christ. I want to give him my life. I want to be in a relationship with him. I want my life to experience fulfillment. My life has fallen apart so many times because it was not fixated and focused on Jesus, but today I want that to be different. If that's you this morning, I want you to say these words. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of commitment, bringing you into a relationship with God through faith in Christ. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day to give me life and life more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, let's put our hands together for every single person who said yes to Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you prayed that prayer of faith, that prayer of confession, here's what I want you to do. Number one, I want you to know that you've made the greatest decision that you ever make in your life. Amen. Come on, church, make some noise. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab that connection card that's in the